Read me romance. Read, read me romance. Read me romance. Read, read me romance.
You could take a look in a book, that's fine. Or you could sit back, relax, and unwind and
read me romance. Read, read me romance.
Today's episode of Read Me Romance is brought to you by The Cowboy's Baby, written by New York Times bestselling author Jessica Clare. Out now! Against the beautiful setting of small-town Wyoming, adorable dog trainer Annie finds unexpected love with a local cowboy named Dustin. He's charming, capable, rugged, and can't seem to stop himself from breaking condoms. Oops! While Annie is prepared to walk away and raise her baby by herself, Dustin isn't so ready to say goodbye. He has to prove to Annie that she has a future in Wyoming and capture her heart before it's too late. Get clicking, lady listeners. The Cowboy's Baby by Jessica Clare is out now. Bye!
Welcome back, lady listeners.
Hi! It's Thursday. You got Alexa Raleigh up in here with you. No Tessa allowed.
We're almost through the week.
Thank God.
We still have a few more questions that people asked that we wanted to get answered to make sure we covered everything for everyone. So,
yeah,
go ahead.
I know, yeah. So let's do it. What was it? Okay. One of the ones I thought was pretty, that was a good question. And though we may have covered it, I just thought it was a good one to revisit. It says, when did you start reading romance and with which author's author do you still read them now? So when you first started reading romance, can you remember who you read first and if you still read them?
Does it count as romance? I'm not sure. I used to read, I started reading romance when I did the True Blood, Sookie Stackhouse.
Oh, yeah,
I didn't
want to
wait. I didn't want to wait for the show, so I started reading the books, and that's where I took off. And from there, I went to J.R. Ward and just
Yeah, I think Charlene Harris, I mean, she was at RT, you know, I mean, she was there 1 year when we went.
But I haven't read her in years.
I don't know if she wrote anything else. I don't know. Did she write a bunch?
I don't know. I remember, I think I got to like 10 or 11 books into the series, and then, I mean, I forgot about it until you just asked that question. I was like, yeah.
Oh my God, that's tough.
But like, I think your taste changes over time once you get a variety of authors and you realize you can really narrow in. So some of the earlier stuff I read or read, I don't read anymore.
I would agree. I read a lot of dark stuff in the beginning because I felt like, I don't know, that's not necessarily all I could find. I know that's not an accurate thing to say, but I felt like that's all I could find. Like, I didn't know where to look. Amazon has a lot of erotica books, so, you know, the ones that make it through are sometimes a little darker. A lot of BDSM in the beginning, because I felt like, you know, after I read 50 Shades, I was like, well, this is what romance books are, right? Like, I didn't understand that there was so many more other genres. And then, you know, it took me a while to find what I liked. I mean, do like straight erotica. I mean, 50 Shades of Grey was the first dirty book I read. You know, I read books with sex in them before. I loved them. But it wasn't like, that wasn't the main focus. They were like, you know, adventure books or whatever where people had sex in them. I don't know what you call adventure. That sounds like I'm reading a 4-year-old book.
I know.
Like, choose your own adventure. He fucks in the bathroom. So, yeah, I don't know what you call that, but
I don't know
suspense,
why
I guess.
Did you ever read that book in middle school where the plane went down and the kids on it? That's what popped in my head.
Like, what is it, Hatchet?
Hatchet? Yes.
Yeah!
When you said adventure book, that's what I thought popped in my head.
Spoiler, he fucks the wolf.
Oh, I just got so many ideas.
So, yeah, that's funny. I don't know. You know, straight erotica, it'd be E.L. James. Like, you know, 50 Shades of Grey would have been, like, the first thing I read. And then after that, it's crazy. Like, if you look back at my Kindle after that, it's like I got really into Bella Andre. And you remember those books?
Yeah.
And
I got really into Maya Banks' Sweet series.
Yeah, Maya Banks. And I still read her. And you do, too. So, like, those are good.
That's one, I definitely still, I read in the very probably first year of my reading, and I still read, is Maya Banks.
Yeah, Lauren Donner. I mean, obviously, like, she was one of the very first I read and still read her to this day. I'll buy anything she puts out. Mm-hmm. I want to support that lady for the rest of her life. I want to personally make sure she never has to stop writing. I love her so much. All right, another question we got was, will you guys ever be able to, or is it in the works to do a live taping, like where they can ask questions while the show is going on? So one of the things we tried to do one time is we tried to video, like do the screen, like video our screen and record us, but we didn't take into consideration the audio. Like we had a recording of our, all of us, but you can only hear Mel's voice because whatever program we use, it records us individually. Then we send our individual voices to our podcast producer, Lola. And so she's the one that handles all that for us. So it's hard when, like, you know, we couldn't figure it out, basically.
You know what, like, we could, though? We could probably do it in New York.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a live taping, yes, that could happen. But to record our screen and, like, we had tried to put it on, like, YouTube, that was going to be the goal. Whereas anybody could go and watch it on YouTube. But it's just impossible with three people recording in three separate locations to videotape it. But a live taping, like a live recording where people could come watch us, yeah, that could absolutely happen. I think we don't have one in the works, but I think it would be really fun to do that. We're all going to be together in, is it August? Mm-hmm. When we do COPA, is that right?
Yeah.
We'll be in New York. So maybe we can set something like that up because I haven't booked my travel yet. So maybe we can go up like a day early or something or whatnot if we could do something like that. I don't know how we would get people to come to it, though. What if nobody showed up? Oh, my God, that'd be embarrassing.
I'll do sound effects in the background like there's a crowd. The camera's just pointing at us.
That's pretty awesome. So, yeah, so we'll be together. So maybe we'll try to. I don't even know how we would record it, though. Like, to the process, like, would we all bring our own shit? Like, I don't know. This sounds like so much work.
I was just thinking that. I was like, I give up already.
I give up already. That's too much work. But maybe we'll figure it out. I was telling Mel earlier, we did an Ask Me Anything on Alexa Riley's page on Friday night. I post up, and I shit you not, there was probably 300 questions. Like, people were just bored like me on Friday night. Like, I was just chilling. And I was like, you know what? I got some time to kill. I'll do a little AMA. Ask me anything. And I posted up on there, and it was like, like all of a sudden shit started flooding in. I was like, whoa. Everybody wanted to know, when's the next release? That was the number one question.
I update the release page. Get on there, people.
They still want to know. They still want to know. They want us to tell them. At the time, His Hostage is already out for you guys now. If you're listening to this and you want to know when's the next release, it's Wedding Cake Crushers. Yeah, it comes tomorrow. So hopefully it'll upload early today. We'll see. Yeah, Wedding Cake Crushers. We talked about it on the podcast endlessly. We came up with the idea on the podcast on the 100th episode. So we think you guys are going to love it. Not only do you get Wedding Cake Crashers, you get the bonus book completely free. You just have to click the link at the end of Wedding Cake Crashers and go to the page. So it'll take you right to it. Download it for free. It'd be really awesome. One of the questions somebody asked where they were like, well, how do you pick your hero and heroine's name? How do you keep up with them? And so in the beginning, Mel and I, we didn't keep up with the names in our books. And then somebody pointed out to us that we had used the name Alexander like 3 times in a row or something like that in a book. Like the name Alexander, like something like that. And we were like, ah, fuck. So we had to start keeping I have an Excel spreadsheet that has all the names we've ever used that I can recall. Like, I try to do it as we go, but sometimes I have to go back like 2 or 3 books and I'm like, fuck, was there a side character? So I keep up with it that way. And then I have a list at the bottom that I keep with names that I hear that I really like. Like, there's an ongoing list. Sometimes I'll think of a book title and I'll put it in there too. And we can come back to it later if it works for what we're writing. I was telling Mel, I was on a vacation with my daughter, my 4-year-old. She was about to be 5. She was eating a corn dog and she said she loved it. And she named it Annabella. Or Rosabelle. So she named her corn dog Rosabelle. And I was like, let me just write that down. So I made a note in my phone for the name Rosabelle based on her.
I wonder where she heard it.
I don't know. It was like it took her a second though to come up. She was like, Rosa. And like, it took her a second to like stick it together. Yeah, I think she was just thinking like a flower name and then she likes the Princess Belle. So I think it was just like all of it came together and then she was like, yeah, my corn dog's totally named Rosabelle.
She eat her?
Yes, definitely. She mowed that fucker down. So I was like, yeah, I'm stealing that kid. Sorry, not sorry. This is going to be awesome.
Now I'm going to go to Sonic and get a corn dog.
Oh my God, that sounds so good. Do you remember the episode where we were so hungry when we recorded and all we talked about the whole episode was how hungry we were? Oh my God, I'm that right now.
I intentionally went and ate this morning so I wouldn't be like
starving. I did too. I had some fruit and yogurt and then I was like, that's not gonna do it. I grabbed some pretzels on the way up here. Well, that's all the questions I have right now. We have a bunch more, but we don't really want to keep you guys too much longer. We know you're ready for the next installment, so we'll let you go to it and then we'll come back afterwards with some good fun news to talk about with books or whatever's coming. So
go have some fun with Willow. We'll see you on the other side.
Bye.
Bye.
Chapter 4. Sebastian. What did you two talk about? I ask her before Arya's even through the doorway. Anxiety spreads along my skin. I thought the two of them would hit it off, but the atmosphere in the foyer reminds me of a funeral home.
About what's going on?
My pulse picks up. And what is going on? I ask her, swallowing thickly and refusing to believe Arya told her anything specific. Chloe's pregnant, for fuck's sake. She doesn't need the stress or the fear. The last thing she needs to do is worry. I've got her.
I don't want to not address these things anymore. We need to talk about it.
Her words echo off the walls of the foyer as the door closes and the biting chill of the bitter weather joins us. What things do we need to talk about? I ask her, as if I don't know. There's so much shit she doesn't know. And if she learns the truth, how could I ever keep her? The thought sends a prick down my neck that doesn't stop until it reaches the base of my spine. The uneasy feeling stays where it is when she turns around, staring into my eyes and swallowing thickly.
I want to know everything.
The hell with that. No. Her baby blues widen, the shock apparent. Even I'm surprised by the way the single word sounded so harsh. You don't need to know this shit. I give her the simple explanation, and a light sparks in her eyes.
It's not about need, Bastion. It's about want,
she grits out.
I love you, and I'll never stop loving you, but I hate how you think I'm so delicate and easily broken.
Her tone is severe and unrefined.
I deserve to know the truth.
The truth about what? I ask again, knowing the one truth I will never tell her. Never.
Everything,
she demands. I was her savior. That's how she looked at me. Like I was one of the good guys, and it did something to me. It made me a better man. I will never let her take that back because I don't know what will happen to me if she does. My lips part, ready to give her a partial truth, enough to keep her at a distance, something to satisfy her curiosity. But her bottom lip quivers and her arms cross, showing me her swollen stomach. She's only just started to show.
Tell me why you needed to come back right now.
She asks when I hesitate. I question if Arya told her something I'll have a hard time explaining, or if she told her anything. Fuck, what was I thinking, leaving the two of them alone? Carter was in trouble, I start, and she cuts me off.
What kind of trouble?
The kind that wound up with a lot of people going to funerals this week. I answer her sharply, and wait for her reaction. I get none, nothing. The blunt answer doesn't faze her in the least.
Why now?
She asks. And when I feel a deep crease settling in my forehead, she elaborates.
Why didn't you come back before? It's obvious.
She hesitates, but doesn't hold back when she continues.
It's obvious he's been putting people in the ground for a while now, yes?
I nod and my heart hammers. The skin across my knuckles draws tight as I flex my hands into fists and then relax them, thinking about all the shit that's happened since we've been gone. He didn't need me, but this time it was important to him that he did everything he could. I almost tell her how it was the first time he was fighting for something that mattered, but I don't have to.
Because of Arya?
She questions, and again I nod. It's silent for a moment, and I watch as the tension in her shoulders lessens. The hope that she's been given just enough to drop it toys with me until she asks,
Did he need you to do what you used to do?
I can barely nod in confirmation. Every muscle in my body is tight, waiting for her to run. To cower, to be afraid or angry or disgusted. I never liked the man I was without her, but it doesn't change the fact that's who I am. I can run away for years, but I'll always be a murderer. I don't want her to look at me that way. I don't even know if she knows the extent of what I've done, both years ago and just last week, and what I'm willing to continue to do.
Did you want to hurt them?
she asks quietly. I answer her with questions of my own. Why would I want to do this? Why would I want to hurt people? Another question is all I get.
Why wouldn't you? That's what you did before, and living out there, away from all this, nothing made you happy. You moved from job to job and you hated them all.
I was happy with you and bored with work, that's life.
No,
she responds sharply.
You lost your passion.
I lost my family, I correct her, raising my voice and stressing the statement. I feel the harsh words linger between us. The room feels colder than it ever has before. Anger simmers, although not for her. Anger at my past, anger at this shit life I was dealt. You are my family. We are family. But Carter was too. She starts to speak, but her words turn to ghosts of thoughts as she stares back at me and starts to cry.
I wish we'd never left him behind,
she croaks, and I swallow my confession that I wish we'd never left at all. Come here, I say, and hold her close, forcing her body to mold with mine. I love you, and I don't want to see you like this. A shudder runs along her shoulders as she tries to calm herself down. Can't she see this is the exact reason I don't want to tell her these things? I don't want her to live with the pain? I can bear it for the both of us. As if reading my mind and finding fault in my conviction, she whispers against my chest,
I don't want you to lie to me.
Her hot breath sends goosebumps down my skin in a wave. I don't lie to you. I've never lied. I just keep some of this shit from you, so you don't have to deal with it. It's a half-truth. It's always only a half-truth.
You don't think I know? Or that I wouldn't find out?
She questions as she lifts her gaze to me. Staring back at me are worry, sadness, and desperation even. And it stuns me.
I know more than you think,
she says in my silence. I would never bring you into danger, is all I can say, because it's the only truth that matters to me anymore.
Is that why you came up here before me? Because it was too dangerous?
I almost lie. I almost hide it from her so she doesn't have to know, but I can't. Yes.
Why not tell me?
She asks, as if it's that simple. As if I could risk her knowing who I am at my core and leaving me. I don't want you to know. I want you to be happy and to trust that I'll take care of it, all of it.
That's not fair. I don't want it to all lie on your shoulders. I want to help you. I want to be there for you.
I sound desperate when I tell her, you do help me, and you are there for me.
How can I, when I don't know what you're going through?
I just want you to love me.
You already know I do.
Show me. Kiss me. Kiss me like you love me. I miss her kisses the most. When she's angry and she's holding back, I know she keeps them from me. And all I can think is that she must not need them like I do. She must not feel the same thing as I do when she lets me kiss her. I can keep secrets so easily, but I can't keep her touch as easily. I need to feel it every day. She makes me feel like it's all worth fighting for.
Kissing doesn't make it better,
she says softly, but her gaze lingers on my lips and the fight in her cadence is weak at best. Fighting won't either, I answer her, and that's when her eyes lift to mine.
Are you sure about that?
The seductive tone doesn't go unnoticed, and neither does the challenge. One large step is all it takes to dwarf her small frame under mine. She doesn't back away. She doesn't reach out to me. But her breathing quickens and her baby blues spark with the heat I've longed for. Kiss me, Chloe. Even if it doesn't make it better, it'll feel better. And that counts for something, doesn't it? Life is what we feel. That's what keeps us alive. Leaning forward, she places one hand on my chest, barely touching me, hesitant and careful. She stands on her tiptoes next, taking her time to plant the smallest of kisses against my lips. Her soft, feminine touch may feel like nothing to her as she brushes her lips against mine, but to me it's everything, even if it's only minuscule to her. I can feel the faint wetness she leaves behind as she pulls away, her eyes still open. I can even hear her heart running wild so close to mine, no matter if she's so restrained in front of me.
There,
she whispers and tries to move back, but I wrap my arm around her waist and pull her in closer to me, forcing her breasts against my chest, her hips pressed to my thigh, and a small yelp of surprise slips from her. Again, I command her, barely breathing. Moving my other hand to the small of her back, I keep her pinned to me. Kiss me again. Although my voice is strong and the words are a demand, both of us can hear my desperation, so why hide it? I'm fucking begging you, Chloe, I whisper, the strangled truth. It's only a single beat, a single moment before she crashes her lips against mine, hungrily, greedily, searching for the same thing I need. The feeling of being loved, of knowing it and wanting nothing more than it. I could tell her a million times and she could do the same for me, but it's only when we kiss like this, raw and with everything we have, that we can feel it burning in our blood. Her nails dig into the back of my neck and she parts her lips and my tongue dives into her mouth, massaging hers with swift, powerful strokes. Lifting her ass up with one hand, she wraps her legs around my waist and I don't waste a single moment bringing her back to the sofa, knocking off the suitcase, and placing my wife down in its place. She heaves in a breath when I finally pull away from her.
Bastian.
She breathes my name, rather than the oxygen she needs. I barely get a glimpse of her as I rip my shirt off, and I hate it. I hate that anything gets in the way of what we both need. I'm savage as I rip her clothes from her, tearing down the front of her shirt and pulling her pants and panties down as if they're scorching her skin, and she'd be scarred if I didn't remove them this instant. Her panting, her soft moans, the way she lifts her hips to help me and then tears at the button on my jeans, it all fuels me to move faster, to eliminate everything that keeps us apart. She stares up at me, watching as I kick off my jeans and then grip the top of the sofa as I move between her legs.
I love the way you kiss me.
That's all she says. Cupping her bare pussy, I find her wet and hot and wanting. Her lips form a perfect O, and her eyes go half-lidded as I finger-fuck her, bringing her closer to the edge but not letting her get off. Her little whimper of protest makes me smile. Her pout, the way she wraps her leg around mine and then digs her heel into my ass, fuck. Everything about her makes me hard. I wait for her eyes to find mine and hold her stare before telling her, "Don't stop kissing me." She isn't given the chance to answer because I thrust myself inside her to the hilt, making her scream out in pleasure before slamming my lips against hers. Our lips crash and our moans mingle in each other's mouths as I thrust into her over and over again, moving out slowly, ever so slowly to tease her and then pushing myself into her in one swift stroke. Every time her head begs to fall back, but she keeps her lips on mine, struggling to breathe, to move away from the intensity, to get closer and have more. A cold sweat breaks out along every inch of my skin as I pick up my pace, ruthlessly fucking her and claiming her again and again until her tight cunt spasms around my length and I groan as I lose myself deep inside of her. Even then, she doesn't stop kissing me. Her body trembles under me and her nails scratch down my back, but her lips stay on mine. The two of us never parting, my Chloe Rose never leaving me, and we unravel together. She's still panting, still feeling the waves of aftershock when I pull out of her slowly and move quickly to get beneath her, laying her limp body on my chest to nestle beside her.
I love you.
She doesn't moan the words or whisper them, but they get lost in the air just the same. I kiss her hair, her cheek, her shoulder until she brings her lips to mine and kisses me gently, but with undenied passion. And it's only when she breaks the kiss that I tell her, I love her too. I always have and I always will. I don't know that she'll ever know just how much. She is my everything, my only. My hand moves to her belly, to the life we made together. I would do anything for my family. I will do anything and everything to make sure they will never have to be afraid. Our child won't experience the same life we had. I won't allow it. What do you want to know? I ask her, feeling her bare skin pressed against mine. Her hair slips through my fingers and I wait for her to ask any question and I'll answer it. I don't want to lose you or lose this ever again, Chloe. If you need to know something, ask me. I'll tell you. I'll tell you anything. I breathe in deep before confessing, but you may not love me anymore when you hear the truth.
Sebastian, you're crazier than I am if you think I could ever not love you. Right now, I want to know where and when you're working. I don't like waking up alone.
While kissing her hair and running my fingers down her back, I answer her. I can show you one place I may be a lot. She readjusts on the sofa, moving her small body so more of her is on top of me. I fucking love it. I love how she wants me and how she shows me that she does. When she lifts her head, Her brunette hair tumbles down her shoulder, exposing more of her, and I lean forward to kiss that crook in her neck. "You love it when I kiss you here," I whisper against her skin, and she gives me a small, feminine moan of feigned protest. With her hands splayed on my chest, she straightens, and I'm forced to pull back.
"I want two things,"
she says, staring in my eyes. "What two things?"
"Show me this one place, and tell me something you've done that you think will change things between us. Tell me the worst thing, Sebastian."
"I can't. I won't. I won't willingly lose her like that." Her baby blues are bathed in desperation when she tells me,
"I want to show you what I think of that side of you. The side you like to pretend I can't see."
Welcome back.
Hey.
We're here. Installment left.
Just one more. You're going to get it tomorrow after, I'm sure, some long-winded conversation that has nothing to do with the book. Just us having a little chit-chat.
It is Thursday, so the new releases should be up. I'm on vacation, so maybe I'm behind, maybe I'm not. It's a surprise for you or me if it's up there. So you can click on the links and find it. But I think that's everything else.
Is there any other books we need to mention this week that are out or love or anything?
Well, all of them are in the new release post, so you should be able to get them there. Of course, we've been screaming like crazy about Jessica Clare's Secret Baby because everybody knows that's my favorite. So absolutely, get all over that. And I'm obsessed with Jessica Clare.
And make sure you check out Wedding Cake Crashers either today or tomorrow, hopefully, if Amazon cooperates. Show that this book is because of the podcast. That's what I want to know, is how well this book can do based solely on coming up with the idea on the podcast, writing it for the podcast. So yeah, let us know.
All right, we'll see you guys tomorrow with Tessa. Bye.
Read me romance. Read me romance. Read me romance. Read me romance. You could take a look in a book, that's fine. Or you could sit back, relax, and unwind and read me romance. Read me romance.